You are listening to the Anna Brandt Podcast for the year 2021. Anna Brandt has been a professional photographer for over 20 years and has taught worldwide in over 32 countries. She took a break from podcasting this past year, but she is back now better than ever, ready to inspire and motivate you. My name is Ava Brandt, and I'm happy to welcome you to my mom's podcast channel. We hope you subscribe and stick around.
In this podcast, I'm going to be talking about my mother and lessons that I've learned from her. I'm a mother myself, a mother of three children that are currently 16, 18, and my son just turned 21. They're all 2 years apart, and raising teenagers, as we know, is not easy, but I'm blessed with three amazing children. In my adopted family, I'm the youngest of five, and I've recently found out in my biological family, I'm the oldest of five. I wanted to make a list of some of the things that I've learned from my mother that has made me the woman that I am today. My mother went to school at Taylor University, New York University, Drew University. She has multiple master's degrees in psychology and then went to the New York Theological Seminary, earning a master's in theology. Needless to say, she was a scholar and absolutely brilliant in her vocabulary and her knowledge of many literary novels as well as the Bible. She adopted me at a very young age, and I knew that she was extremely intelligent and smart, and quite often just having her ask about my day meant that it might be a few hours of therapy without even really knowing it. To say that I was not an easy teenager is an understatement. I wasn't. I was not a great teenager. My mother is a woman born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and her father, my grandfather, came into the United States on a boat from Norway. So she is Norwegian, and she married my father, who is born and raised in Argentina. So growing up with them, I had a white mother, and I had a Latin father. I myself am Puerto Rican, and I gotta tell you, I did not want a white mother. I just didn't. Wasn't my choice to be adopted. I didn't want to be adopted. I didn't want a new family. And for years, I struggled wondering where my biological family was and why I was in this new family. Regardless, I needed to thrive. I needed to grow and I needed to learn. And going into my teenage years, kicking and screaming and trying to avoid all that this family was trying to give me was not easy. But over the years, I came into my own. And as I got older, with each year, like most children, we become a little bit wiser and realize that our parents, most of our parents, are just trying to do the best job that they can do. And several times when I would ask my mom over the years, why did you do this or why did you do that? Quite often, her words would be, I did the best that I could with the knowledge that I had then. I heard that answer many, many times over the years, and it made me realize that she was a human being. And while all of her answers and choices weren't perfect, like most mothers and fathers, she would quite often continually say that the choices and the decisions she made in her parenting style, in how she raised all of us, were based upon the knowledge that she had. And I have to respect that. As I grew into my career and raising my children, and she would commend me on my success and all that I'm doing, I would continually tell her, Mom, I blame you for all of my success. And she would laugh and we would say, oh, how am I so much like you? I'm an adopted child. I was not good in school. I hated school. I would get a B if I wanted to, and if I didn't want to, a C, and if I really didn't want to, a D. Grades were not important to me. And how I even graduated high school and went on to college is beyond me. I just did not enjoy it. I did not enjoy it at all. And when you're being raised by a woman who has multiple master's degrees and is a scholar in her own right and is also teaching and educating others, you can feel a little bit less than. But she never made me feel that way. While I may have felt that way many times, she never made me feel that way. And I think one of the most amazing things about my mother is she never gave up on me. Even though I went into my teenagehood kicking and screaming, and even though I would tell her many times that I did not want her as a mother, that I wanted my biological mother, or I wanted my birth family, or all the things that I wanted, she never wavered in her parenting style, and she continued to raise me to the best of her knowledge. I am a busy mama of three, but I was also raised by a busy mama of five. There are five children in my family, all just about a year apart, and we're all busy. We can all cook, and we all have children, and we're all busy in our own lives. And the reason we are so busy is probably because we were raised by a busy mother. And a lot of people look at me and they say, Anna, how do you do this? Fill in the blank. How do you teach and travel and raise children and run a studio and, you know, fill in the blank? And I say, well, I don't really know anything else. I was raised by a mother who still made sure that dinner was on the table when my father came home, that made sure that all of our clothes were clean and folded. I have memories of coming in the kitchen in the wee hours of the morning, and all of our clothes would be folded. The laundry room was right off the kitchen across the table, and everything would be per child, and everything was folded to perfection. She would make all of our lunches for school and then would teach us how to make our own lunches. She loved wallpapering. And so we grew up in a house in New York, and every room was wallpapered by my mom's own hands. Every piece she would paste and trim and do all of the wallpapering. She could sew. I mean, there really wasn't anything this woman couldn't do. So she did all of the things that a typical mother would do. In addition, she ended up becoming an ordained minister. When I was 14, she ended up receiving a church in Ellenville, New York, in which she served for 16 years as an ordained minister. Now, there were not a lot of female ordained ministers at the time, very few. I mean, I didn't really know any but my mom. But she had already battled a lot of stereotypes and judgments as it was. She married a man from South America. So a white woman marrying a Latin man, oh goodness, over 55 years ago was not considered the norm. And I know she received a lot of criticism for it, but she did it anyway and continued on for a wonderful, amazing marriage. This past weekend, we laid my mom down to rest. She had turned 86. And 4 days later, she passed away. My father is 88, and she had met him when she was 25 years old. So they lived a long, amazing, wonderful life, and she would always tell us how happy she was that she married her Latin man. I learned what it means to have a family that loves you unconditionally. Were we all perfect? Absolutely not. Are we still perfect? Absolutely not. But my mom continued to raise us and always had a listening ear every time the phone rang on our side or her side. At the funeral this past weekend, my siblings reminisced over the stories of all of our years. And each one of my siblings also commented that we were very into our phone calls with our mother. Many times the phone calls were maybe awkward or you're not quite sure what you want to say because remember, my mother has multiple degrees in psychology. And so when you're talking with somebody who is as brilliant and smart as she is, sometimes the phone calls could be questionable. And so over the years, we all learned how to have our own method of communication with our mother. So I wanted to go over and just reflect some of the things that she taught me that made me the woman I am today. Why? Well, if you're a parent yourself, whether you're a mother or a father, it is not easy. We know it's not easy. Parenting is such a challenging job. Many times you feel unappreciated, unheard, disrespected. You can feel very lonely. You can feel like giving up, like I should just give up on this child because they're not listening to me anyway. And so if you don't give up and you continue and you persevere through the parenting process, I am here to tell you it can pay off big time. Because I know that I didn't appreciate my mom as much as I should have, like most children. And I expected her to always be there. And so when we realized that she was not going to be with us any longer, the pain was very strong because all of a sudden this woman, this rock, this person that we had all leaned on wasn't going to be around anymore. And if you've experienced loss in your own life, I know that it's not something that will ever really go away, that she will always be a missing piece in our family. But perhaps if we can look back and reflect on the people that leave us and think back and maybe write down all the things that they taught us in a way to preserve their own legacy, but then also in a way to create our own visual history for the people that are going to follow behind in our own path. So with that being said, I'm just going to run through a few things that I jotted down that I thought makes me the woman that I am today. One of the things was being the youngest of five is I was always in trouble. Pretty much the oldest child and the youngest child are quite often the ones that are in trouble the most, I've found. And maybe just the middle ones get away with it. I don't know. But I do know that quite often I would be sent to my room. I don't know if my parents just enjoyed sending me to my room, or when you have five kids, the only really form of punishment back in the day was going to your room. Now, back in the day, there was no TVs in our room. We didn't have iPads. We certainly didn't have iPhones. So when you're being sent to your room, there's nothing there. I mean, there were my dolls and my notebooks and my books, and I spent a lot of time reading and writing notes and journaling. And so when I think back of all those times I spent in my room, I think, wow, I actually learned how to have quiet time. And sometimes we're so busy that we don't know how to have quiet time. There's many people that I know don't even know how to be alone. They always have to be the center of attention, or they always have to be partying, or they always have to be doing something. And I actually love being alone. I love having quiet time because I truly feel that quiet time allows me to hear the voices that are going to direct me and guide me in my path. And if I'm always busy and there's always noise, the TV or other people, I think it's hard to really hear the voices that you need to hear that help guide you in your life. I think it's super important. Some people say it's meditation. You know, other people just say it's alone time, whatever you call it. And you may say, well, Anna, I have that, but I was never sent to my room. And that's fine. And would I have that if I was never sent to my room and never in trouble? I don't know. But I do know that I did spend a lot of time in my room, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I said before that my mom had loved me regardless. She had always given me unconditional love and taught me that we should be love and be kind to everybody regardless. What do I mean by regardless? Well, regardless of the color of their skin. I had brown skin. My mother had white skin. My dad was somewhere in the middle. And my mom would always say that that doesn't matter. The color of your skin should have no relevance in how you love or treat somebody. Nor should the amount of money that people have, or the type of house that they live in, or the car that they drive. So my mom had always made sure that she would tell us that to be loving and to be kind should always be without judgment. And I do my best to live that way now. Now, we all judge people. We all do that. But I think that if we can back it up a little bit and try not to judge people for their politics or their religion or the cars they drive or the house they live in, I think that we would maybe have a much kinder world out there. She taught me how to be crafty. She was always busy. My mom's favorite thing to do, she had so many favorite things, but she loved flea markets, antique sales, yard sales, Goodwill stores, the Salvation Army. She knew everybody by name in all of these places, not just in the East Coast, but when she came to visit me in the West Coast. And one time I had asked her on one of her trips if she could go any store she wanted to go to before she caught her plane back to New York. Her eyes lit up and she said she knew the store. I remember I was living in Huntington Beach at the time, and when I asked her which store, she said it was the Salvation Army. She couldn't wait to go there. She loved to repurpose, reuse. She felt that there was so many hidden treasures. She was known for stripping down dressers, refinishing them, restaining them. If the lamp was broken, she wouldn't buy a new one. She'd strip it down, rewire it, put it back new, and then buy a new lampshade. That was my mom. She would repurpose, reuse. Nothing would go to waste. But she was crafty. Quite often I'd come into the kitchen and she would be sitting there making wreaths from scratch. And she would be talking to herself and putting together flowers. And I remember she'd come in from the craft store and she'd have bags and bags and bags of things. And I'd say, what are you going to do with all this? And she'd say, oh, I just don't know. I just don't know. And then weeks would go by and she'd pull out that bag from a craft store that she had bought months ago. And all of a sudden, the next thing you knew, she would whip through this wreath and it would be on our door or as a gift for somebody else. She could do flower arrangements. She could do interior design. She could remodel. She could redecorate. I mean, she was extremely crafty and talented, and she knew color like nobody else. And this past weekend, one of my brothers had shared when he was looking for a particular white for his house that she went through this palette of colors and showed him 50 different whites and was explaining all of the different whites and which ones had blue in it and which ones had orange in it and which ones had yellow in it. And my brother was just thinking, I just want white. That was my mom. She was known for her color theory in her brain. She could take one look at your house, go back to New York, and ship you a blanket or a pillow. It would go perfectly with the decor in your home. I also love to be crafty. I'm known for buying things that sit in my closet for months, and then all of a sudden, I will put them out and design something. Just for me, I take that to the newborn photography world, and I've had a clothing line for over 16 years, and I design items for the maternity and newborn market that we sell all over the world. All of my children are also very crafty. If you know anything about my children, they can all paint and draw, and my son is currently building a studio from scratch. And my girls love to decorate and create and just do things with their hands. All of my children share a love for going to flea markets and yard sales and, you know, repurposing things. And I think there's something to be said about the love for arts and crafts. And I think we all have it. I think we are all creative in our own different way. But as parents, we have to find a way to balance all of it, right? You're going to say, Anna, how am I supposed to work and be crafty and create with my children and do everything I'm supposed to be doing while taking care of myself and getting sleep at night? And I think just watching my mom, she just did it. She found time for everything that she wanted to find time for. And I think that it's an important message. That doesn't mean that we need to do all these things at the same time every day. I feel like when we listen to other people or we look at Martha Stewart magazine or we hear about Marie Kondo, you know, organizing homes and things like that, we feel less than, right? We feel like, well, why can't I do all of that now? But it doesn't all need to be done every day. You know, there were some days where my mom spent the entire day cleaning the house because she had five kids. And then there were other days she was making soup from scratch and it would sit in the crock pot for hours. Other days she would be crafting. Other days it was wallpaper day. Other days she would be locked in her office writing the sermon for the following Sunday. She wasn't a mother that did everything all the time, but she learned to do what she needed to do when and prioritize and do the things that were important for her. I feel that I learned a lot of my time blocking through my mom. While we all multitask, she didn't do too many things at once. She would throw clothes in the laundry like we all do, put a roast in the stove like we all do, and then go on and do another task. So she would quite often do three or four things at once, but she was very persistent about the things that she needed to get done and very exact about how much time needed to get done for each of her own chores as well as our own chores. She also taught me really how to love myself. And that might seem weird, but in my house growing up, you'd often hear her in another room and she would be wallpapering. Now, with my mom, she wouldn't just wallpaper. She would wallpaper designs. So if you know anything about wallpaper, whether it's stripes or flowers, it doesn't all come in one sheet, right? It comes in smaller, you know, rolls. So a big room, one wall could have 8 or 9 panels of wallpaper. So that means you have to paste it, cut it, and line it up to perfection, right? Not an easy task. And I spent many, many, many hours listening to my mom wallpapering. But when she would line it up just right, I would hear her say, my mom's name is Barbara. I would hear her say, oh, Barbara, you're amazing. And I would just laugh because if you didn't know her, you would be like, why is she saying she's so amazing? And then you'd walk in and she would be like, Anna Maria, look at this. Look at this wallpaper. Is it not perfect? And I would be like, yeah, mom, it's perfect. Obviously not nearly appreciating the hours she just spent lining it up. But over the years, sometimes I'll do something. Maybe it's a good shot with a newborn baby or a wreath or a headband or something I'm doing. And I'll be like, oh, Anna, you're so good. And I laugh to myself because it's not coming from an ego. It's coming from probably the hour that I spent hating myself and not liking anything that I did and not liking any picture I took. Just like all the times my mom put up wallpaper that didn't match up, that didn't line up, that fell off the wall. And then you get that one moment where you're like, oh, I'm so good. Years ago, I heard Ava, my youngest daughter, and she was doing something in her room. And I heard her say, oh, Ava, you're so amazing. And I can't even remember what it was at the time, but I remember hearing it and just laughing to myself, thinking, oh my gosh, I wish my mom heard that just now. And I think we all need to do that. Does that mean that we're all just walking around with big egos saying we're amazing? No, but it's okay to celebrate and it's okay to love yourself every once in a while. And it's okay when you've actually achieved something that you really wanted to do and to look at it and go, oh, wow, that was so good. And every time I say it, I just kind of smile. And if I'm saying it with my staff, they just kind of laugh because they know that probably the hour before that, I was like probably ready to quit my job. But then you get that one moment, that one shot in the photography session, or that one time where you get that child to actually look at you when you're trying to take, you know, sessions or trying to take photography, especially in mini sessions. And you're like, oh, I got it. I got the shot. So it's okay. It's okay to love ourselves. It's okay to say we're amazing. And it's okay to say that we've done a good job. A few more other things that she taught me was one, how to be giving even when your pocketbook is empty. I've learned to really never worry too much about money. I mean, I want bills to be paid. I want things to be taken care of, but I'm not really a very materialistic person. I don't need diamonds on my finger or fancy shoes on my feet. I like everything to just be in its place and taken care of. And growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. My dad was an accountant and he was self-employed and ran his own business his entire life. And so before my mom started earning money as a minister, we were on one income. And my dad was very, very, very frugal. And every dollar was spent. I mean, he was an accountant. So let me tell you, every dollar was spent. And so for both of my parents, I learned how to stretch a dollar and how to save. And to just be aware of how much money I have, but also to make sure that I can still give to others. Many times my mom would meet people in town and they would put money in her pocket. And at the end of the day, she would be emptying her sweaters and she would be like, oh, I have so much money in this one pocket. And I always remember her saying that people would hug her and slip money in her pocket. And she had two pockets, one for personal and one for the church. And when people would slip money in her pocket, that would go straight into the offering at church. And I remember growing up thinking, I wonder if she ever dips into that church pocket, but she never did. She would always say, it's not my money, it's God's money. And she would put it straight into the church. Now, why did people constantly give my mom money? I have no idea. Maybe they trusted her. She was always trying to take care of other families and always trying to, you know, take care of the environment and things around her. And people knew that. You know, at her funeral this past week, she was discussed as a renowned woman in her field. She was recognized from churches and towns around New York and neighboring areas. And she was known to be very giving, regardless of how much money she had in her own pocket. She taught me how to keep going regardless. What does that mean? I'm pretty sure that as a woman with as many demands as my mom had and raising five children while two of us were adopted, and I've already told you I wasn't an easy child, and taking on the role of an ordained minister, and by the way, in that role, you also marry people, bury people, counsel people. She was a therapist to many, a counselor to many. The phone was constantly ringing, asking for my mother's advice. I don't even know how she handled the demands of so many people needing her attention right up until her life in this world had ended. But she always kept going, regardless. Regardless of how she felt, regardless of whether she was tired, regardless of whether she was even hungry or had a meal, she would keep going. And so how do I keep going, regardless, in this time of grief for my mother's loss? Because that's how I was raised. I was raised by a woman who taught me that you can actually create a life that you want to live. I was raised by a woman that taught me that you can really do anything you want to do regardless of the judgment of others, regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of how much money you have, regardless of whether you're a woman or a man. You can actually create a life that you want to live. You can learn how to hear your calling and you can learn how to follow it. To quote Maya Angelou, when you learn, you can also teach. I am so proud that I am the woman that I am today because of the mother that chose to bring me into her family and to raise me to the best of her ability and to do everything she could with the knowledge that she had. My wish for you is that you do the same. Does that mean that every day is going to be easy? No. Does that mean you're going to accomplish everything you want to accomplish? Absolutely not. Does that mean you're not going to feel like a failure or have really good days or really bad days? No. But that means that you're going to keep going regardless. Why? Because we're here to live one life and live it well. I'm Anna Brandt. Thanks for listening.
Did you like this podcast? We would love it if you gave my mom a kind review and reach out to her. To learn more about Anna, visit annabrandt.com. You can find out about her education opportunities at annabrandteducation.com.